All right, well, hello and welcome to LifePoint Church. Thanks so much for being a part of our service. We do have a few folks who are in the room. Our staff and team have come to be my amen crowd. Can I hear a big amen? Because I can't necessarily hear you online, but I do want to say welcome to all of you, and thank you so much for being a part of LifePoint Church today. We are one church in many places typically, but today specifically, we are one church in literally a few thousand places. So whether you're watching online through our Facebook Live, YouTube Live, or our website or our app, we're so thankful that you're a part of this day and this service. And I want to encourage you, if you would, share the link to this message, if you would. It will be recorded or played during all of our regular service times on Sunday and then on demand throughout the week. And so if you'd share the link to this message, that would really help us get this out to as many people as possible. If today's your first time joining us as a part of our service, I want to say welcome to you and thanks for being our first time guest. And so we're glad that you're here. If you take a moment, you can online, just tell us where you're watching from or maybe give us your name and we'd love to follow up with you for some next steps. But things are a little different for us today and we are living in some very different and interesting days. Can I hear a big amen, everybody? The popular opinion is varied. There's no singular way to think about everything that's happening. And every once in a while, we experience national and international events like we've never experienced before. If you think historically, like the attack on Pearl Harbor or 9/11, natural disasters in places like my hometown, New Orleans, with Hurricane Katrina or other events, it can be hard to know how to respond or who to listen to or to know what is ultimately going to come of these things. But today, our world's facing what public health officials are calling a global pandemic. Now, I've not heard that word in my lifetime, and many of us have not either, but it's the fast-moving spread of a virus officially called the COVID-19 or the coronavirus. These are uncharted waters for us. I don't know in my lifetime or in the last 100 years that we've ever had something like this ever happen and the reactions to something like this ever happen. But I want to speak to you today as a pastor. I want to speak to you as a Bible preacher, as a person who belongs to another kingdom, what Jesus calls the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 4, the Bible says, right before he went about preaching the Sermon on the Mount, at the end of Matthew 4, it says, Jesus went about all the region of the Galilee proclaiming the good news and the gospel of another kingdom, the kingdom of God. So I want to talk to you as the body of Christ, as the people of God's kingdom. We need to balance our heads between being people of faith and being people of wisdom, right? And so our viewpoints and our opinions should overwhelmingly be informed by scriptures, confirmed by the Spirit of God, and in agreement with wisdom as the body of God. But how does that happen? I mean, what scriptures do we turn to regarding the coronavirus, right? We're living in a day where the loudest opinion seems to get the most attention, where panic is driving our behaviors, where legitimate concerns are stirring us up. But I want to bring us back to a place of center. As followers of Jesus, as spirit-filled and spirit-led people, I want to bring us to a place of center as faith people, not as social media scientists and not as critical armchair politicians. None of us are in those roles. I don't get to speak authoritatively on my view of the science of these things. But in our recent Galatians study, we've seen that faith and belief is grounded in this concept of a deep-seated confidence in God and in God's word, and in what God says in relation to any situation. So I want to bring us back to God's word, back to God's promises, and back to a place of deep confidence that God is good, he's for us, he's on his throne, he's not disturbed by these things. And I want to have a confidence in what God says, not discounting what leaders and politicians and scientists are saying, but believing God even while listening to others. I want to make sure the most important voice we are listening to is the voice of the Lord. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us a single verse about what to do when a fast-spreading virus is called a pandemic and brings us to a state of national emergency. The Bible doesn't have a verse dealing with what to do when everyone cancels everything. There's not a passage about the NBA shutting down. There's no verse in Habakkuk that directs us with how much sanitizer and toilet paper is the appropriate amount to stock up on. But the Bible does tell us that we live by a big faith in a big God. Not by any single passage of Scripture, but we live by the whole story of Scripture that tells us a lot about the nature and character of God and what he thinks about us. We're directed by God's heart throughout the whole of the Bible. And it's in times like this when it feels like our faith is being tested. Listen to me. When our confidence is being tested, When fear seems to be on the rise, when times seem very uncertain, these are the moments we anchor into our faith in God, not run away from it. I'm always amazed as a pastor how quickly we can seem to abandon our faith and our confidence in God in times of stress and pain. It's like all the statements that we make, our God is good, he's holy, he's for us, those are all easy to say when times aren't hard. But when times are difficult, how easy it is for us sometimes to walk away from the very faith that we say we have. And I want to call you back to that place of faith. I look at our relationship to God as a covenant. And just like a marriage covenant, for example, we make promises when we covenant with our spouse. We say, in good times and in bad, for better and for worse, in sickness and in health. It's not okay to jump ship when things get hard. Covenant means we anchor in when things are hard. And as people of faith, I want to encourage you to come back to the truth of God's character, of God's nature, of God's heart for us, and God's word, even in times that seem to be troubling. Lock yourself into God's word. Build up your most holy faith in prayer and in scripture in this season. And I believe the body of Christ should be built up by the Holy Spirit, and our faith should come alive now more than ever. Can I hear a big amen? So here are a few truths and encouragements that you and I need to remember. I've titled the message today, God's People in the Midst of Chaos. I think we need to understand how to react when things are tough. You know, this is hyperbole for most of our Christian lives. You know, we use statements like, I can trust God no matter what. But then when we're pushed to really trust God, how are you doing? So I want to challenge you with ways of thinking and ways of moving forward in these difficult seasons. If you're taking notes, which you should be, I encourage you to write these down. The first is, don't forget God's all powerful. Now, this has been my prayer about the power of God. I said, Lord, I know that you're able, and so I ask that you would. Now, listen, some of us struggle with the power of God here because we say, if God's all-powerful, why doesn't he then do this? And maybe the pace of God's hand is not the pace of your demand, but he's still powerful, even though he's not moving at your speed. Don't forget, don't ever forget that God is bigger than any virus. He's bigger than any plague. He's bigger than any war. He's bigger than any cancer, any sickness, any conflict, any problems in your marriage. He's bigger than any problem in the whole universe. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Don't forget that you serve a mighty God. Some of us just need to start saying that again. You know, we're overcome by the word of our testimony. Some of us need to testify at how good our God is, at how big our God is. Now, even though this world may offer incredible problems, God is still good. God is powerful. He loves his people, and he's still in charge. He may not be moving at your speed, but he's still moving. I want to encourage you with this statement. Never let the size of our problems cause us to forget the size of our God. Never let the size of our problems cause us to forget the size of our God. Listen, the same God who created the world is the same God who governs this world. We may not understand the mind of God and how he governs, because he's not actually beholden to our dictate of how it should be governed. I mean, he's actually bigger than all of us too, you know what I'm saying? The same God who hung the stars, who spoke life into existence, is still God who sits on the throne of heaven. Psalm 46 says it like this, one of my favorite psalms. God is our refuge and strength. He is an ever-present, very present help in trouble. Therefore, because of that, because he's a refuge, because he's strong, because he's present, therefore, we will not fear. Everybody say, we will not fear. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Later it says, be still and know that I'm God. Man, in moments like this, I don't know if this is true for you, but I love to still myself on the media. I love to still myself on the noise of everyone else. And sometimes I forget to still myself in the presence of a mighty God. Be still and know that he's God. Trust him. Listen, God's not sitting in heaven wringing his hands going, I don't know how we're going to get this figured out. He's good. He's big. No matter what happens, we can trust that. Second thing I want you to remember is troubles will come, but it's okay. Troubles will come, and it's still okay. Listen, our world has endured all sorts of troubles, natural disasters, wars, plagues, but you got to remember who you belong to. In John chapter 16, Jesus said, I've told you all these things. He's been preaching, right? He said, I've told you all these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, tribulation. How many of you know we don't get to avoid trouble because we belong to Jesus. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, take confidence, be assured in this, I have overcome this world. Don't forget who you belong to. Don't forget whose you are. It helps you keep your composure, to keep your confidences in check. It never means we ignore trouble. It means that they don't threaten us the same way it does for those with no hope or no home in heaven. We have to remember that this world is temporary. Listen to me. That is why we preach the gospel, because heaven is our home, and we ultimately overcome this world because we belong to another world. We belong to the kingdom of God. Jesus tells us in John 17, 16, he says, we're not of this world. Don't forget that. Put your confidence in the fact that you belong to Jesus. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 12, 1, don't conform to the patterns of this world. The pattern of this world right now is fear and chaos and panic, but we don't conform to that pattern. And I know it's our impulse, and we can justify it in so many ways. We go, well, I'm just looking out for my family, or I'm just trying to get ahead and prepare. We belong to another kingdom. Don't lose your confidence in that. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, we don't live like or grieve like people who have no hope. We have a different set of hope circumstances. Now listen, this is such a balance point for us. We don't bury our head in the sand. We don't just walk around and go, well, this stuff doesn't apply to me. I'm going to do whatever I want because I'm a heaven-bound person. You are a heaven-bound person, but you live in this world, right? Jesus said that we are in this world, but we know ultimately we're not of this world. That's the balance point. You live here, but you belong there. And don't forget that. This world is not all there is. I know it's strange to hear that in times like this. And these can't just be amen scriptures only when times are going well. We gotta keep our eyes and our focus on these truths, because we're actually having to live through some of these things. These are the times that the scriptures come alive and become our anchor points. And the third, and I'm gonna reiterate this in just a moment, but I want us to remember, God is good, troubled times will come, it's okay. And third, we're faith-filled and we're smart. Can I just say, please be faith-filled and be smart. Like, I have total confidence when I drive somewhere, I'm gonna arrive at my destination. I'm full of faith that I'm gonna make it home when I drive home. And I put on my seatbelt. Every time I walk down a set of stairs, I'm a grown-up, I'm 40, and I know how to walk downstairs. And I use the handrail. So we're gonna be faith-filled and we're gonna be smart. That was a lot funnier to me than I think it was to you guys. I just can't hear you laughing on the internet. So when the virus hits Tennessee, I didn't say if, I said when, the virus, like it has in Italy, like it has in Korea, like it has in China, we need to start really reminding ourselves and believing the scriptures, like 2 Timothy 1:7, that says to us, we have not been given a spirit of fear. Now that sounds so cliche, right? I mean, that sounds so easy to say when things aren't fearful. But when we're in moments of fear, when we're in moments of anxiety and trepidation, these are the scriptures that have to come alive in our lives. We have not been given a spirit of fear. God didn't allow these things to happen and go, now let me cause my people to get into a panic. He goes, no, fear's not from me at all. That's not from me. What are you afraid of? You're my son, you're my daughter. What are you scared of? He says, we have not been given a spirit of fear. We have been given, look at this, a spirit of. And this is about our confidence. This is about what God puts in us. Look at this, a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of sound mind. This is the be smart part. How many of you know it's spiritual to be smart? That means I will walk in the power of God. That means greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. That means I walk with the power of prayer. I walk with love for my neighbor and for the elderly and those susceptible to those who are stirring drama online and the instigators. I'll walk in love for other people when I'm tempted to hoard and hold tight to myself. I'll walk in the spirit of a sound mind. That's wisdom married to faith. That means I'm going to cover my mouth when I cough. Not go, well, I have faith. Cough all over you. Bless God, I'm a man of faith. I'm a cough right now. No, I'm going to cover that because I'm using wisdom. I'll give you a fist bump. I might give you an elbow. I'll wash my hands because I have a sound mind. It is smart. Being smart is spiritual. There is no being faith-filled without also being smart. I believe I can drive and use my seat, but I already gave that illustration. So I got ahead of my notes there. So here's the thing. We're faith-filled because the word is true. Because Jesus is good. The Bible says, build up your most holy faith in prayer. The Bible says in Romans 10 that faith comes by hearing the word of God. So we're faith-filled because the word is true. We're full of the spirit of power because the word is living on the inside of us. Let me tell you some scriptures that empower me right now. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I'll tell you a verse that empowers me right now. What can man do to me? You can't take my confidence. I'll tell you a verse that really empowers me right now. And in the midst of like all this scare of what this pandemic is going to do to people, when Paul says, for me to live is to live for Christ. For me to die is to be with Christ. How do you threaten a guy like that? I've preached that for years at our church. And I laugh about it. I go, how do you threaten a guy like that? And now I'm thinking, that might be a real verse for us to live out. But as long as I live this life, I'm going to live for Jesus. And if God calls me to exit this life, I'm going to be with Jesus. I believe that. And that gives me the power to follow God and not live in fear. We're full of love for the people of God. And as faith people, we're smart people. We're wise people. We're disciplined people. Listen, don't be reckless and careless. Be wise. That's why we gathered in our homes today. Can I hear a big amen online? Can you give a little heart click? Can you give a little holy hands? Whatever you want to do. That's why we met at home. Hit the like button. So let me close out this message. I think I'm relieving all of our teams today. On the day we're online, this will be the shortest sermon you've probably ever heard me preach. And we don't have any services to transition, so this is totally ironic. If you want a shorter service, I guess, make me do it online. So let me close with some thoughts that a bunch of pastors and I are all sharing today. And I want to thank Pastor Craig Rochelle at Life Church, who gave these thoughts, this kind of outline flow to churches all around the country. He's at Life Church in Oklahoma. But I made a comment earlier that I want to drill in on as we wrap up, that we are not of this world. Wherever you're sitting, say, not of this world. Look at somebody in your living room or your quarantine station and say, we're not of this world. Say, we're different. What does that mean? For the last few minutes, I want to tell you how to move forward as people who are actively living in this world with a pandemic, with the crazy online and everything that's going on, but living like the Bible says, not like this world. I want you to write these down, and these will be our points of prayer at the end. And actually, we're going to sing together a chorus at the end of this message, what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it for good. How many of you know that's a promise from Scripture? That what the enemy means for evil, God is going to turn it for our good. So there's three things that I want you to write down. These are points of prayer for the end of the message. Number one, we are people of faith, not fear. Now, I said this earlier, but we're people of faith, not fear. Remember what I taught you in 2 Timothy 1:7. He says, but know this, this has been the language that God's used. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. But this is really language all over the Bible. God told Moses, don't be afraid. He told Joshua, fear not, for as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. And I think every prophet, every major figure of the Bible was told by God, don't fear, trust me. Don't fear, trust God. Remember, faith is a deep confidence that God's good, his word is true, that he loves us, that we're overcomers who actually belong to his kingdom. So listen to me, be at peace. Be at peace. Trust God and don't fear. John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. I mean, isn't that amazing? Jesus is about to resurrect to the right hand of the Father. And he said, one of the things I'm leaving behind with you, my Holy Spirit. And he said, my peace. Look what he said. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I mean, think of the peace that Jesus has right now. He's sitting in heaven. He's not wringing his hands at all. He's not freaked out about any kind of viruses or any kind of pandemics. He's sitting there with total peace. And he says, this is the peace that I leave for you. I don't give it to you as the world gives. It's not cures, and it's not handouts, and it's not quarantines like the world gives. He goes, my peace I give you, not like the world gives. Don't let your heart, this is your decision, do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Listen, peace is not the absence of trouble, but peace is knowing that God is present with you in the midst of your troubles. God is with us, and he sees us. He's not stressed, so we don't need to be. We need to be wise. You need to be smart, but don't be stressed out. If you find yourself in panic and in stress, you need to find yourself in prayer. You need to get yourself into your prayer closet and go, God, I need your peace right now. I'm stressed out. I'm nervous. I'm anxious. Those are normal emotions, by the way. You just need to submit those things to Jesus and know that he promised. Go to this verse and say, God, you said I can have your peace. Philippians, he says, Paul writes, he said, the peace of God that surpasses understanding. It doesn't make any sense. Notice it's the peace of God. It's the same peace God has, is the peace that you can have. I really am praying that over all of us, that we would absolutely be peace people. So we are people of faith, not fear. Second, we're people of service, not selfishness. Now, this is going to feel like a rebuke, and you need to maybe take it that way. But let me tell you something. Serve others. Bless others. Care for others above yourself. This is the pattern for people of God, and this is how the church shines the brightest. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul writes, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. In a day when we're rushing to the stores to hoard and to package for ourselves, don't be selfish. Be a blessing to other people. Now, I know this is hard because you're saying, I want to take care of my family. I want to be ready. I get that. But in your desire to be ready, don't stop someone else from being able to get ready. This weekend, I'm friends with the manager of our local Walmart, and I asked him, I was like, how's it going for you guys? He said, man, it's crazy. It's just pandemonium. And every time we put stuff out, they're immediately taken away. And Stephanie was coming home from an event with our girls, and I said, hey, you should stop by the store and try to grab a few items. One of those items, of course, I have four daughters and a wife and me, is toilet paper. I said, hey, try to get some at the store. If you can't find it, no big deal. So she goes to the store, and they had just unwrapped a pallet at the grocery store. In fact, there was a line of people there, and she was there with four girls, you know, in a cart, pushing up there to get this. And it was like this crazy dash to get this toilet paper off the pallet. And she said, I just chose to stand there and wait and let everyone go ahead of me and wait. And if anything was left over, I would get it. And I thought, man, she is way more spiritual than me. Because I would have elbowed my big old self into that stack. I got kids. I got justification. But listen, the way of people of God is to remember that God is our source. God is our provision. God is our hope. And listen what Paul says here. Don't be selfish. Like, do you really, this is where the faith is being tested. Do you really trust that God will provide? The wisdom says, make sure you have provisions. But faith says, but ultimately I know God will provide. Don't be selfish. Listen, in every era of the church, they face persecution and hard times. And Christians have historically always kept an eye on serving and blessing others. During the Black Plague, I mean, they opened their churches to be places of hope and healing, and they would let the church buildings become hospital care places. They didn't say, no, we're closing the buildings so that nobody here gets sick. They'd say, if we perish, we perish, but we're going to serve other people. And that's the way we have to live our lives. They shared, they looked out for others, they blessed, they met regularly in homes, they prayed, they gave money sacrificially. In Acts chapter 2, we see this sacrificial way of living in times of persecution, and that's what God is calling us to. They didn't hoard, they helped. We will be a people of healing, of helping, of hope. I'm gonna tell you, stay generous, stay humble, stay willing to let others go ahead of you. So we're people of faith, not fear. We're people of service, not sacrifice. Service, not selfishness. And we're people of light, not darkness. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. Man, that is such a powerful proclamation. You are the light of the world. When times seem dark, the people of God shine bright. We don't hold up in a house somewhere and just lock it all down and say, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to be the light. He said, you're the light of this world. A city set on a hill can't be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a stand. We are meant to shine in moments like this. So many people are looking to the government, and we're looking to scientists, and we're looking to agencies for hope, but I'm telling you, we are to be peddlers and dealers of hope. I want our government to do right. I want science to come along with a cure and all that. And I'm praying and believing God they would absolutely eradicate this virus. But I'm telling you, church, we are called to be ambassadors of the kingdom in this season. We're the light of the world. We're a city on a hill. We can't be hidden. You don't light a lamp and put it under a basket, but you put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house in the same way. And look at the understood subject is you let your light shine before others. Get out in your neighborhood. Man, call your friends and your neighbors. Invite folks over for a meal. Share this message. Like, have moments where you just say, hey, how you doing? How can I pray for you? Serve the elderly, those who are maybe at risk and afraid and not willing to get out of their house. This is when we shine. In moments of darkness, the church comes alive brighter than ever. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. And look at the goal here, and they may give glory to your Father who's in heaven. The end result of this is people will come to know Christ. they'll give glory to God and they'll get to know God and see God's hand in their lives. Listen, during this time, people are afraid. They're unsettled, they're anxious, they're looking for hope. And we are the carriers and dealers of hope. We are the shiners of light. We are the givers of Christ. As contagious as this virus may be, I'm praying that you and I are more contagious for the gospel. We have hope, we have truth, we have faith, we have the gospel. A.W. Tozer said, "A scared world needs a fearless church." And I believe that's a great message for us to end on today. Will you be a fearless, confident church that believes God implicitly to be good, to be for us, to be faithful, that we can be dealers in hope? Let me just give them to you one last time. We're people of faith, not fear. We're people of service, not selfishness. And we're people of light, not darkness. Listen, none of us know what's going to happen tomorrow. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, have enough to worry about for itself. We don't know what's going to happen. I'm telling you, I think more now than ever, that verse in Matthew 6 is alive in the hearts of pastors everywhere. We don't know what's about to happen. And frankly, I'm hopeful. I'm hope-filled that God's going to answer prayer. Our president called a national day of prayer. And in these three final sentiments, it's reflected that we're faith people, service people, and people of light. We're going to lean into prayer. We're going to lean into the things of God. We're going to trust what God says, that what the enemy means for evil, God's going to use for good. We're going to just trust the Lord because he is good, he's trustworthy, he's faithful. And listen, I believe this is going to pass. I believe we're going to move on with life as normal because everything that's ever happened in our world, the swell of those storms has always receded and life has gone back to normal. Our normal may be different, but that's okay because to be in this body is to live for Christ. To be absent from this body is to be with Christ. Either way, we win. Either way, we have a great message to share with this world. Let me encourage you, church. Be people of faith. Be people of courage. Be people of the gospel. Be people of another kingdom. Let these be the words out of your mouth. Share this message. Invite people into your home. Invite people to do meals together. Serve those who have needs. Be a blessing to other people. Hey, maybe you'd put a little bit aside because some people aren't preparing, and who knows what God would need you to do with that. But listen, we're not going to be afraid. We're going to trust the Lord. We're going to walk in wisdom. We're going to be selfless. We're going to be generous and be faith-filled people of God. Can I hear a big amen, everybody? Can you hit like, click share, whatever you need to do there? And these 82 people started to clap and got nervous about it. Let's try it one more again. Can I hear a big amen, everybody? Come on. Hey, I want you to do me a favor. Would you stand wherever you're at? I know it's weird. Maybe in your PJs. Maybe you're in your bed, laid up with your laptop on your legs. Just take a moment and stand. There's something about the posture of standing before the Lord in prayer and in confidence in him. And there's this posture throughout Scripture that Paul says, I want to see people everywhere lifting up holy hands in prayer. So would you do that for me this morning? I want to pray over us. And then we're going to go out with a chorus that says, what the enemy meant for evil, God is going to use it for our good. So don't turn it off just yet. We're going to sing through this chorus just a couple times, and then Jeray is going to send us out of here with a goodbye shout. But we're going to pray, and we're going to worship one last time. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you've called us to be faith-filled. You've called us to be kingdom of God people. We will rest assured that you're good, and that God, the peace of God, the same peace that you function in and operate with is the peace that we will function and operate with as well. The peace of God that surpasses understanding will guard our minds and our hearts in Christ. We are faith-filled, not fear-filled. God, we will be servants and sacrificial leaders, not hoarders and selfish, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've called us to be the light of the world. And Lord, let us shine so bright. Let us give our lives to the glory of Jesus' name. To God be the glory, and we love you so much. Lord, I pray right now in agreement with this body, this church, that, Lord, you would absolutely eradicate this virus. That, God, you would be the one to just eliminate it from this earth. In Jesus' name, bring healing to every nation. Bring healing to every person who's infected. And, God, most of all, let the church come alive and walk in faith and confidence and hope and joy and know that, God, we have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives doing a great thing. Lord, we stand for you. We stand with you. If anyone's far from God, Lord, we surrender to you right now. Say, God, I'm all in. Say, I believe in Jesus, that he lives with me and he's in me. Say, I will live for you for the rest of my life. in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord praise.